The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
There's a lot of newcomers on this team. You got Dominic Pooney, who's a newcomer. He hasn't been around the block. You know, you got Malik Mustafa in the back end. He's a rookie. Tick Brown, you know, he's got a little experience, and he hasn't played well. Hufanga's been hurt. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk's hurt. Trent Williams is hurt. Nick Bosa's hurt. Javon Hargrave is out. I mean, there's a lot of dudes out of this lineup here. So I don't know if George Kittle's calling anybody out. It's just the message of that team meeting saying, we got to play desperate.
You know,
we got no tomorrow.
I'm thinking back to like that final season with Sherman and how frustrated you were with just some of the things that he would say and just maybe the way he was playing and whatnot. And like, I'm seeing, and I wasn't necessarily all the way with you, but now I'm seeing it with Debo, and it's like, God dang, man, like, what is going on? Why does this have to end so ugly? And it feels like this is ending very ugly, and it's souring what was a really, I thought, great 49er tenure.
Well, Sherman was talking about, how he's not going to be here because this guy's going to pay, that guy's getting paid. Debo's not pocket watching because he's got plenty in his pockets. And he was supporting a lot of guys who were getting paid. Debo's on point with a lot of these guys getting paid, you know? So it was a little different to me. And he's a homegrown talent. Richard Sherman came over from Seattle. I was always skeptical of that. And it was just a little weird. I don't know. I thought it was a little weird with Sherman or whatnot. And he just, that COVID year, being in Glendale, he was talking, I was like, damn, that's how we going to do this, man? We pocket watching already. We got six games left. You already talk about not being here next year? Can we get through the season first? Like, that to me was completely different than his Debo situation. Now, I'm reading reports from people who think, executives that think that Debo's not going anywhere. They think he's going to be back on this team, so I have no idea.
I've been hypothesizing just in my own head, like, okay, where's Brandon Ayuk in the rehab process? Is he even going to be ready for the beginning of the year? I don't know. Who knows? Like, I have no idea. So, like, let's say he's not ready at the beginning of the year. Can you afford to not have Debo? Is it worth having Debo on the team if he's going to play like this? What's his price point? You know, I know he renegotiated some of his guaranteed money and they can get out, but like, does his number drop significantly? Because there's so much like shadiness when it comes to these cap numbers and what actually hits and when it's going to hit. I have no idea. I know the guy I don't want to lose is George Kittle. Yeah. And George Kittle has got to get somehow re-upped, renegotiated, move the money around, find a way to keep George Kittle on this team long term.
T-Boss, the community note on his tweet, not struggling at all. Just not getting the ball. The community note said he leads the team in drops. He is struggling.
Is that like Wikipedia? Anyone could put that in there? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's just.
It's not wrong.
He's struggling, man. They're all struggling. This has been a struggle bus. The whole damn team's struggling. But sending that tweet out there after some of the things has happened, and you know certain media members are going to pick it apart. It's an absolute disaster. So that's why, even if you did feel good about the win on Sunday against the Bears, I don't know how it made you feel, but it didn't make, I was like, whatever. You know, does it make you feel about Thursday night against the Rams? Does it make you feel better? Oh, you got to win. You still got a shot.
I mean, they do still have a shot. I mean, as faint as it might be, they still have a shot. Do I believe they're going to go on some magical, mythical run? No. But, you know, I'm more frustrated. Like, as a fan of the Niners, it's like, Where has this Leonard Floyd been? Is it, like, to your point, like, is it just the Bears? Is it just that the Bears stink? Did we, like, all of a sudden turn it on? Have we figured something out? Why have we not made adjustments? What'd they have? Four consecutive third down sacks? What? Is it that simple? Is the answer just the Bears are one of the worst teams in the league?
Yeah, I think it's, to me, my big takeaway was the Bears are one of the worst teams in the league. And
it's the Bears.
Going into the game, I thought the Bears had a shot to win. I really did.
And then
what I underrated was that although Matt Eberflus is not a good head coach, I'd be interested in having him as a defensive coordinator because he can call a defense. And you know what? I'm looking on the sideline saying, oh, wait, they lost their defensive signal caller. I haven't seen the second level of a defense look that confused against the 49ers in ages. I mean, it was embarrassing. Embarrassing. Now, 209 saying covered sacks on Sunday because the coverage was great. The initial pass rush wasn't there.
Sure. I don't know.
We got Baldy coming up at 7:30. We could ask him. We could ask him about
crack,
that.
Crack.
We'll ask him at 7:30. But to me, I was just thinking, wait, Eberflus caused their defense. Oh, wait a minute. This new D coordinator they had, I think it was Eric Anderson. Mm-hmm. I think his name was. I was looking above. I was just like, all right. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Shanahan against a guy who's filling in for Matt Eberflus calling the defense. Yes, that's a mismatch. That's a mismatch. But Matt Eberflus wants to be D coordinator of the 49ers. I'd be willing to listen, man. That guy can coach defense. He coached a great defense with the Colts, man. He can coach defense.
I'm not mad at that suggestion because yeah. I think you're right. But, like, that would be three defensive coordinators in 3 years.
Hey,
I think that – or is that four? No. D'Amico's here 2 years. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of D coordinators. But I'm not mad at that suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to upgrade. That's all. Let's go to Richie in San Jose. Richie, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment about the desperation thing and how Shasky was saying, why haven't we seen this stuff all year? This year has been so frustrating for me because I feel like there's been stuff on that we just haven't done that's been so obvious. Like, why have we not run any screenplays? Like, we saw it work on Sunday, and I don't know why Shanahan hasn't done that all year. And I think the whole desperation thing was the reason why Shanahan finally let go of whatever stubbornness that was holding him up. I don't know if he was just so stuck to his system and, like, wanting to play McCaffrey. So maybe the luck aspect that – bad luck in a weird way was good luck because McCaffrey wasn't there, so he couldn't use McCaffrey. But I think the desperation, Shanahan finally had to just have some humility and, like, maybe made him more creative by having to do the stuff that they should have been doing all year. That's all I'm going to say.
I got a bunch of plays written down in the beginning of the game, like the first, whatever, four drives. And it just felt like, to me, like he made an emphasis, Shanahan, because everyone's talking about adjusting, evolving, et cetera. There's a Kittle screen that was just absolutely gorgeous, designed just for George Kittle, okay? It was absolutely gorgeous. Then they had a Kittle tunnel screen on the third drive that was awesome. Then they went right back to George Kittle again on a short one. And then later on in the fourth drive, a play action where he's the sail route. They run it a lot, but it felt like they hadn't run it for a month or two with Kittle as the crosser. It just felt like there was an emphasis to get George Kittle specific designed 85 plays that were working and gashing them. Now, I know the defense is going to dictate a lot of that and where you are on the field and down in distance and all that. It felt like to me there was a priority to get George Kittle involved, and I agree with that. I would love to see more and more of that.
Yeah, at least 8 targets a game. He only got 6, and he made everyone count.
6 for 151.
6 targets, 6 catches, 151 for George Kittle.
What a game.
I mean, I would like to see more targets for George Kittle. I mean, we discussed this in the Super Bowl. We discussed it in Super Bowl 54, Las Vegas. I mean, it goes on and on and on. As that segment was sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. As you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. So, 888-957-9570. We do have Warrior News. There's a lot going on with the Go to State Warriors. I can't wait to talk some basketball. Does Sunday's win make you feel better about the season? Niner fans. Did it make you feel better, the win on Sunday? Because it doesn't feel like – I know in Boston, they talked to me after the game. Because if I was listening to you, I would have cut it off because you weren't happy about the win. You just didn't care. It's like it's the Bears. Like the season feels like it's over.
Well, not every win is going to feel the same.
Right.
We agree on that. And not that the season's over. It's just, it feels too little too late. Right. I think, and that's where I go back to being frustrated. More than anything, that game made me angry. It made me angry that we haven't channeled more of that throughout the year. It made me angry that we didn't get more George Kittle. It made me angry we didn't see more Garendo earlier on in the season. I know injuries play into that. It made me angry that, like Juwan Jennings did get hurt and missed all that time. Like, I was just more angry and frustrated. See, I can't believe that win made me frustrated.
A win made him angry. Shasky, he's angry.
Because I'm like, where's angry. That been? Like, where has that been?
Right.
And I know the easy retort is, Joe, the Bears are just that bad. And I'm like, all right, I hear you. But, like, if I would have told my earlier version of myself on August 10th, hey, by December 10th, the Niners will be in fourth place in the NFC West, I'd be like, what happened? Everyone must be hurt. And it's like, well, no, you still got George Kittle. Purdy missed one game, but he's still out there. You know, you're still getting over 4 yards a carry from whoever's running the rock. Juwan Jennings is actually having a career year.
Yeah.
It's like, well, something good might be happening.
Yeah.
But, Bosa's not there and CMC's not there. I don't know. It's just, I do believe that the one thing that we have not talked enough about, and you reference it, you know, the Ayuk injury has been massive. And I think a lot of the hidden yardage that other people get has been accumulated because he's out there dictating certain looks from that secondary and opening things up for others. We haven't talked enough about it.
Yeah, I was just like, ho-hum. This was the first time all season. Usually when the Niners game comes on, I enlarge the screen. It's Niners on a big screen. And it's Sunday Ticket on the laptop or whatnot, or on my phone. I just went quad box all day because I was like, it's the Bears. And I'm watching the Niners, but it's the Bears. I want to see what Buffalo and the Rams are doing. I want to see Josh Allen and Matt Stafford. And now, look, this is a division game on Thursday. It's going to be a tight game, I believe. I really do.
After the win of the year for the Rams, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tight game. Division games are different. The Rams have not been able to win up here at Levi Stadium in quite some time. I know they're desperate for a win to stay in that race. And they feel like, hey, we beat this team without Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp.
Tutu Atwell.
At the same time.
He destroyed us.
Now, contrast that to the 49ers, and you look at their sideline, and they're saying, well, we blew one to the Rams. We should have won that game, and we didn't have Debo. And did George Kittle was out in that game, too.
Yeah, Jennings had the monster game in that one. And they got Blake Corum going. They got Kyron is really humming right now. Like, the Rams' offense is a juggernaut, but they're coming off a huge emotional win.
Look, to get me excited about the Niners again for this season, went on Thursday. Then I'll pull up my chair and say, okay, all right. We'll see what happens in Miami afterwards. But right now, you got to show me.
I think a lot of fans feel that way.
All right.
I don't think you're alone in that.
Don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with Evan Giddings and Will O'Neal 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay Area presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com. What's coming up on the game? Sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Your phone calls plus Baldy at 7:30. Baldy at 7:30 right here on the Rust.
Hypotheticals. What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldy with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky at 95.7 The Game.
Baldy in 12 minutes. 12 minutes right here on the Rose, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. Doobie Awards coming up Friday, December 20th, so take the day off, man. I'm telling you, take the day off. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great party. Great party. Celebrate the year. Celebrate the show, the listeners, the station, but also the third annual Doobie Awards. These are the Doobies. You don't want to miss the first ever live remote of the Doobie Awards. Red carpet's going to be trotted out.
Oh, my God.
Photo booth, food, drinks. Woo! Going to be fun. What's up?
I would like to play I don't know if we have them available already, but at some point today I would like to play just a little snippet of some of the awful sounds from the year that have made our award show. Some of the bad, which is so bad it's great.
Some of the gross moments of the year. Mike Florio is a great... He knows how to instigate, man. He is really good. He just randomly thought about, I wonder if we should do more coaches trades, and what if the Bears would give up 2 first-round picks to Shanahan, to the point where now Shanahan's getting asked questions about getting traded to Chicago. Well, I mean,
it's not like we haven't generated some conversations.
No, I know. I was giving Mike Florio credit.
Oh,
if you didn't hear, if you listened to me, I just give him a credit. Said he's so amazing.
I mean, not only did he give one market talk show fodder for a week, he gave 2 markets talk show fodder for the entire, top 5 markets.
Yeah, even Cowherd
top 5 markets, man. That's why I was giving him credit. I wasn't ripping him.
It's like us creating the CMC trade or the Chris Bryant trade. And the other one I want to speak into existence is the Kyle Tucker trade. But we'll get to that a little later.
I thought you were going to talk about all the content you make in Philly, too.
It's true. Though I have to admit, I have so many of them blocked online. They must be stunting on me right now.
Because, I smoke with Mike, though.
I mean, the Eagles are just on top of the world, and the Niners just feel so far, far. I mean, we're in the moat.
Just juxtapose out the Warriors and Sixers, then you'll feel better.
Warriors play good ball, man. My Warriors. There's some things cooking.
My Warriors.
There's some things cooking. Well, you know, you asked a question during the break. We'll get to JJ and Concord in just a second. Have Niner fans emotionally checked out? For me, it's different on Sundays when there's a Warriors game. When I know there's a Warriors game on a Sunday, I'm in Warriors mode.
Well, yeah.
So I'm watching football, but I'm watching football as a casual. It's completely different. I'm not as locked in as I am if the Warriors are not playing. So I'm doing notes. I'm taking my notes. I'm watching the game back from Friday night. I'm watching the film and looking at the fourth quarter over, jotting down some things that maybe I didn't see, and just getting all my data together and, you know, communication with the show. What are we going to do? Hey, this segment, we're going to do this. Oh, hey, P-Lo's going to stop by here and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm not as locked in, as, say, the fan who was at the game.
Well, I think
so. I don't know what the temperament, I don't know what the tenor of the energy or what the energy was like at Levi Stadium at all. I don't know. I didn't hear about it. I saw a lot of people at the game. They got to see a win, which is cool. But I don't know if people are emotionally checked out right now. It is football. Well, and I want to see how it ends.
I do believe that there are a lot of people that are frustrated that they haven't seen more replication of the performance that you saw on Sunday. Like, that's the first time they scored 4 offensive touchdowns in a game all year. That's crazy. Like, for a team that just lit up the scoreboard last year, it felt like at will. You would think, even with the firepower that's been out, they've got plenty of firepower to be able to score 4 touchdowns in a game, and they've only done it once. That was kind of crazy. And to play suffocating defense for the first time in what felt like forever, like, that was crazy as well. As bad as the Bears are, like, they are an NFL team. And we've seen, like, there have been some wild wins. Like, we saw Jameis beat the Ravens, for crying out loud. You know, we've seen some crazy things happen. I mean, Bryce Young, I was ready to say maybe he should go to the CFL, right? And then all of a sudden, he looks like a competent, good quarterback the last couple of weeks. So it is the NFL. Anything can happen. But for them to do that, it's like, damn, where's this been? So I was like more like frustrated and like fired up. Like, come on, guys. Like, if we would have just gave half this effort 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, we'd be 1 or 2 games better. It'd be totally different.
See, I completely disagree about the effort. I think the effort's been there. There's a lot going on in this locker room. The season starts off with Brandon Ayuk holding in, but also Ricky Pearsall got shot. The first round pick got shot. All right? Tre'Davious White lost a kid, lost his daughter. Trent Williams and his lovely wife had a stillborn. There's a lot of stuff going on inside this locker room that affects your on-field performance. Who the hell is Trent? Like, Lord knows something happened to my baby girl, and knock on wood, hopefully never. It will affect my whole life. Andrew Wiggins, we just saw with the Golden State Warriors. His dad, sick. He had to miss time. He had to leave the game that he loved to go tend to his dad. He couldn't focus. And who could blame him? Who could blame him? Trent Williams, probably dealing with this all season long. And still out there trying to give quotes and everything like that. But Tre'Davious White, he's out there playing in the snow. He's playing last Sunday. You got people tweeting nonsense about him. And a guy lost his daughter. So there's been a lot going on off the field with this football team. So I'm not one to say, hey, they haven't given maximum effort. Well, they just haven't executed at a high level. I mean, just because you don't execute doesn't mean that you're not playing hard.
I'm just taking George Kittle at his word, right? Like, I'm taking one of the leaders and one of the voices of this team, what? And he's basically telling you that, like, he didn't feel like they played.
Desperate.
And I'm reading between the lines as hard as they could. And what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm taking them at face value. I thought that was impactful. I've never heard anyone question that during the team. And to your point, like, I thought that way a couple weeks ago, but when I heard George say that, I was like, oh, well, maybe they didn't. Like, this is a leader on the team. And all those things that happened, the totality, those things are crazy. Like, I don't push those aside. I don't diminish those at all. That being said, they also have had, like, wild collapses in the fourth quarter that have nothing to do with what's execution. Going on throughout the week.
And I don't think that's effort. I don't think it's effort that Geno Smith scored that touchdown and went right down the field. It's a lack of execution and a lack of playmaking ability by the defense. When you go to Green Bay, I thought they fought their ass off in Green Bay. And then Brandon Allen throws the pick, and that's that in the third quarter. But I thought they battled after a slow start. I thought they battled in that Green Bay game, and the score looks a little lopsided at the end of it. But I thought they battled, man. I thought they tried to give Buffalo early on, man. They were battling in the snow. Then McCaffrey knee blows up and looked like an Achilles. It blows up, and then James Cook just goes 65 yards because Fred Warner's off the field, and Jalen Graham gets swallowed up, and Jake Brown takes a terrible angle. I don't think it's lack of effort. I think it's just lack of execution. That's my opinion on that one. Let's go to the lines real quick before we get the baldy. J.J. Conker. J.J., what's up?
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I love what you're saying here about this lack of execution, but to me it's kind of like a notion of expectations versus execution. You know, I've been thinking a lot about Dan Campbell and the way this guy goes for it on fourth down. And I was thinking about with regards to the Niner game and how, you know, Shanahan went for it on that fourth down, which I was just totally shocked out early on, could have kicked the field goal. And it's like, to me, it's like there was this new expectation. Like, we're not going to kick a field goal here. We're going to get a touchdown. I'm thinking about, you know, I'm 50 and I grew up, you know, watching the Niners in the 90s, whatnot. And, you know, we're not going to see you know, teams blowing teams out like we did San Diego, 6-7 touchdowns in the Super Bowl. You gotta fight for every little inch, you know, and I think that Dan Campbell knows that. And, you know, I think I agree that maybe the season has come to an end. Maybe we're, you know, not going to go on some magical run. But for anything or for nothing else, man, I hope Shanahan's finally got his head wrapped around the idea that, you know, field goals ain't getting it done. And the expectations have got to be a lot higher. And we gotta start doing some uncomfortable things, you know, some things that people are like, that's kind of crazy. But, hey, if you don't have a quarterback who can go off script like Patrick Mahomes and make magic happen when it really matters, then, you know, you could talk about playing good football all you want, but you're not playing championship football. That's all I got to say, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree with you. They're not playing championship football. Real quick, TC in a second, then we got Michael Lamar. TC, what's up?
What's up with my bros, man? Top of the morning.
Top of the morning. You're not going to call me Willard, are you?
Nah, listen, hey, bro, hey, you know what? Hey, I was coming in hot, bro. I have so much going on. Hey, I apologize to the homie. I ain't talked to Gooden in a minute. I was tripping, bro. My bad.
It's all good, Chassie. Chassie. It was funny.
Hey, yeah, for sure. Thank you. Hey, no, listen, hey, the answer to the question is, they're emotionally checked out on Shanahan, man, the team. I mean, that's why Debo out, acting crazy, doing all that talking, because, you know, that Shanahan boy. Ain't nobody else backing up that dude, bro. They emotionally checked out on that dude, man, no matter what you say. That's all I got, man.
That's it, TC. You really want Shanahan out of here, huh?
Yes.
Who would you want to coach? You want Ben Johnson? Give me your top five candidates right now.
I'm going to just give you three.
Okay.
I'm going to give you Ben Johnson. Robert Saleh, or I even go get the OG Rex Ryan.
All right. That's TC and Zach.
Who in the league?
Like, when does that crack come into play for you?
That is running a team right now is taking Robert Saleh or Rex Ryan over Kyle Shanahan. Come on, TC.
Now, so the cocaine's happening.
Exactly. Hey, did you ask TC if he was coming to the Doobies? Hopefully you asked him. Let's go to Michael Lamore before Baldy. Michael, what's up?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
So Bill Belichick had said something a while ago that resonated with me. If you want to sustain success over the next 10 years, you can't pay everybody. And I kind of wanted to disagree with you guys about bringing George Kittle back, because that's our problem right there. We've kept this culture together way too long. The guys are getting tired of each other. And if we continue to do that, then we're going to see the same exact results we are getting this exact year, going nowhere. I love George Kittle. He's my favorite player, but eventually you have to break up sometime. You know what I mean? Like, you know when you go visit family somewhere and you haven't seen them in a while, and you miss them, and then you're there for like more than 3 days and you kind of get tired of them? Like, okay, I can kind of see what you guys, we get tired of each other real quick. You know what I mean? Like, you got to eventually break up with him, is my point. You know what I mean? Like, you can't keep them together forever. You know, like, I love George Kittle. He's in the same conversation as Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez as far as talent level goes, and a future Hall of Famer. And he's going to retire a 49er for sure, but eventually we have to move off of these players, you know?
So
like,
here's what I would say to you, and I you make a very salient point, but for every Willie McGinnis that was allowed to leave in free agency, or Richard Seymour, whom he traded, he did keep a Vince Wilfork forever. Forever, it felt like. He did keep Gronkowski for a long time. He did keep Julian Edelman for a very, very long time. So I think it's case by case. Your overall arching point, I agree with. I think Kittle is the unique player in this circumstance that you do keep. But I would agree that you cannot keep everyone, and that has... They've tried to string it back and run it back. It hasn't worked.
Not working, yeah. And that's why I'm a little hesitant of paying Brock Purdy. I love Brock Purdy, but if he doesn't accept more than, if he goes south more than $45 million, then we just got to move elsewhere, honestly, because every contract that we signed in the offseason has came back to bite us where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, good call.
All right, time for Shark Week.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. Time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
All right, joining us on the River Islands guest line, Brian Baldinger, presented by our proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Baldy, good morning to you. And, you know, a lot of Niner fans are just kind of ho-hub about the win over the Chicago Bears. We don't know how to, you know, we don't know what to do about that win, but they do play the Rams on Thursday. They still have an outside chance at winning the division title, albeit being very challenging due to their schedule and record in the division. But let's start with Deebo Samuel, because he was on Twitter yesterday, and Twitter can never be a good thing when you're struggling as a football team. And Deebo basically tweeted, I don't know if you saw it, Baldy, but he's basically tweeted saying, I'm not struggling, I'm just not getting the ball enough. And then later on saying, I'm not trying to hate on my teammates, I'm just being for real. Come on, be for real. So you tell us, you watch the film, he's got 85 receiving yards over the last 4 weeks on 11 catches. Is Deebo not getting the ball enough, or is he getting off a press man? What's going on with Deebo Samuel? Because according to him, he's just not getting the ball.
Well, he's not getting the ball, but, you know, last week, obviously, they made a concerted effort to get the ball to George Kittle. George Kittle was a little icy after the game in the loss the week before. That sort of got Kyle Shanahan's attention. I said on the show last week, I could draw up five plays to get George Kittle the ball. And they used all five plays exactly the way you would want it. Like, you do the same thing with Deebo. If you want to make it so that he gets the ball, you can do that like they did Jamar Chase last night. First play of the game, put him in the backfield and throw it to him. First run of the game, hand it off to him on a fly sweep. If you want to get him the ball, you can get him the ball. And if that feels like that's going to make him happy and make the team better, then you should probably do that. But I don't know that, you know, we have seen him with the ball in his hands this year. He's not been a dynamic player like we're used to seeing from him. I mean, was it just 2 years ago that he led the league in, you know, yards after the catch? Like, we're not seeing that right now.
So, I mean, are you seeing a physical depreciation from Deebo, if you were speculating based on film and whatnot? Or is this a schematics thing? Like, what's the bigger issue?
I don't know if they, you know, I think he's the same speed he's always been. He's never been a burner until he gets going. And once he gets going, he runs away from people. But it's not like he's got the fastest first step or the best quickness or anything like that. He's very tough and he's very strong. He breaks tackles. But, you know, like all these guys, the more you feed them, the better they look. And if you're not feeding them and you're not finding them, then you find flaws. You find deficiencies. We've said this for years about Kittle. Like, why can't they get him the ball? Well, it's the same thing with Debo. Like, if you want to make the effort to get him the ball, maybe get away from the offense a little bit, you could do it. But, you know, they're winning 24-0 last week. It's time to melt the clock. You know, I mean, run the ball. Run Garendo. You know, run Taylor. Like, run it. Like, there's no point. Like, they even finished the game with the starters last week.
Yeah.
You know, they had a chance to put younger guys in, guys that don't play a lot. Like, that doesn't happen in the NFL very often. But, like, the game dictates what happens to a player. I mean, 24-0, let's just run it and get out of here and get the win and get ready for Thursday night.
Well, Baldy, does that sit well with you as a teammate when the next day or even the postgame, yeah, we saw A.J. Brown kind of, you know, critique his quarterback? We've seen Debo critique the amount of touches. Like, that would bug me in a win. Like, that would bug me as a teammate. Would it bug you?
Well, yeah, it would bug me. But here's the thing. Forget about my thoughts. Like, honestly, these receivers that do this, and I'm taking a shot here at Debo, but honestly, nobody wins the Super Bowl because of the receivers. Nobody. They help you, but you win the game because of your quarterback and your defense. Your quarterback helps the receivers. But T.O., Randy Moss, I mean, you go through the list of great receivers that we see in this league. They don't win Super Bowls. The Eagles won a Super Bowl 7 years ago. They didn't have a receiver that had 1,000 yards receiving. They didn't have a running back that had 1,000 yards, but they were a great team. So, you win 24-0 for the first time. You got a lead last week, like, and you couldn't win a game for a month. Like, just take the win. Take the win. Thursday night, national TV, you got the Rams. They beat you earlier this year. Go do something to help win the game against the Rams. Throw a block for Garendo that springs them. Like, just do the little things. Like, the ball will come your way when you start winning games and you hold on to the ball and you're getting a number of possessions and you're taking care of it, the ball will come your way. The offense is made to be spread around. And so that's what I would tell. I would tell any receiver. Like, Ja'Marr Chase is having an all-world season. They're not going anywhere.
Yep.
So who cares? Like, honestly, like, you're right here on the precipice of knocking yourself right out of these playoff hunt. But you got to keep winning. The only way you're going to do is winning. And, like, really drawing attention to yourself at this point, the season you're having, which is a disappointment for everybody, coming off a Super Bowl loss in overtime. Like, honestly, just go to work and do everything you can to help everybody out. That's what I would do, and that's what I would say.
It's pretty disappointing to see the tweets, because I personally try to stay off of Twitter more so nowadays, because it's just toxic. It doesn't help anybody. And to see that, I don't know why you play that sound. Seriously, I don't know. I don't get why Debo tweeted those things out. So a common response out here in the Bay Area about Sunday's game, a lot of people weren't fired up about the win. I was one of them. It's just like, hey, it's just the Bears. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
Yep.
Is that fair to say, ah, oh, it's just the Bears, whatever?
It's not fair. I mean, you know, that was an interim head coach that's auditioning for a head coaching job. Like, he thought he had the team ready to play. Now, they didn't play well at all. I mean, you sacked Caleb Williams 4 straight third downs in a row. Like, the ball just kept, you know, and it just, the sinkhole just got deeper and deeper for the Bears. So, I wouldn't say that. Like, the 49ers took the fight to him. Garendo had a great game. Like, he's a talent. And the offensive line, you lose Barch early. You're down to your third team left guard. Those guys played their butts off up front. You know, it's probably Jalen Moore's best game he's ever played. You know, so you won a game, you know, without Trent, you know, without some of your stars, and that hadn't happened in a while. So I think there's enough to, you know, you saw a defensive line get active. We haven't seen Yetur Gross-Matos do anything in this all year. Like, he had himself a great game, back-to-back sacks. No, I think it's important. Like, you getting back on the winning track feels good. Practice feels better. It's a short week. You know what's coming to town. Stafford was all world last week. They got their hands full. When he's playing like he played last week against Buffalo, you know, you better be you got to be able to score some points, because they're going to put some up.
Before we get to the Rams and move forward with this matchup on Thursday, it's a monster matchup at Levi's Stadium. Just give me your overall thoughts on Caleb Williams during this rookie season. Is some of the sacks on him? Is he holding on to the ball too long? Is he seeing it? How would you assess Caleb Williams during his rookie season as a number one overall pick?
I feel sorry for the kid. I do. I mean, you know, you fired the offense coordinator. You fired the head coach. He doesn't have a great offense line in front of him. He's trying, like, can he play better? He can play better. He was under siege all day yesterday, or on Sunday. The receiving corps is good. I think Roma Dunze is the best. But they struggle in a lot of areas. But, like, there's just, like, for example, if you see what Sam Darnold's doing right now, a big part of Sam Darnold's really excellence this year is what he learned in San Francisco last year. Like, he saw what stability looks like. He saw what game planning is all about. He saw what, when you have the best left tackle in football, can do to your quarterback and the confidence it gives him. Like, he learned all that. Now he's taking it in a really, really bright offensive mind in Kevin O'Connell. And so the point is, the quarterback, and I was talking to Daniel Jones about this on the sideline the other day, because he's never had that in New York. Like, a quarterback's got to be in a stable place. They've got, he needs help around him. You need a lot of things to go well for your quarterback to play well. Like, C.J. Stroud's not having the same year he had last year. But nobody commits more penalties than the Houston Texans. And they lost, you know, some receivers. They lost Nico for a while. They lost Mixon. And all of a sudden, he's not playing as well. So to criticize Caleb, like, I think I've seen some all-world talent from him, some all-world great throws. You don't see anything on a consistent basis because the players around him aren't very good. And there's no stability in the organization.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a difficult time making any evaluation on him. I just thought that everything around him looked terrible. Back to the Niners. George Kittle, you referenced it. We referenced it. It just felt like, to me, like, where has this been? Like, I wanted to see him get prioritized. You're talking about Ja'Marr Chase. It's a priority to get him the ball. A lot of the great playmakers. The final play for Kansas City. We all knew it's going to Kelce. Somehow, some way, it's going to Kelce. I got a beautiful screen on the first drive. I've got a beautiful George Kittle.
Fourth play of the game, Joe. Fourth play of the game. The tight end screen.
It was beautiful. The Kittle tunnel screen later. Kittle immediately right after. Then they get the Juwan Jennings slant on the touchdown. Then a Kittle crosser. The whole first half felt, and Jennings as well, but it felt very Kittle-oriented. We are going to prioritize him. And I'm just left going, why am I not seeing more of this? And I'm almost frustrated by it. And I don't know if that's fair or not.
No, it's totally fair, Joe. Like, honestly, I played tight end before, you know, I blew out my knee and gained a bunch of weight and moved the offensive line. But, like, I could tell you, like, that tight end screen, everybody runs that play. I mean, you just got to call it. You know, the tunnel screen, you know, like, it's just a middle screen setup. Like, they're easy. They're actually easy, you know, to get the tight end the ball. Because most teams, if you're in man coverage, all right, Kittle's going to beat man coverage. If he's up on the line of scrimmage, he's going to beat him off the line of scrimmage. You know, and then, you know, after the catch, he's as good as anybody in this business after the catch. Anybody, receiver or tight end. And so you get him on the move like that. Like I said on my one breakdown of him, like there's three certainties in life. That there's death, there's taxes, and Kittle's not going out of bounds. He's always going to draw a little bit of blood. Like that's how he was raised, that's how he was coached. He's not going out of bounds. And so he's an energizer. And they should do the same thing this week to the Rams.
Yeah, I agree. We talk about the Super Bowls where George Kittle gets three or four targets. Well, even Sunday, I get it. They got a 24-0 lead, but six targets. He catches six balls for 151. I need 8 to 10. I see David Njoku with Cleveland getting all the targets from Famous Jameis. We see Kelce every single week. It's criminal how underused in the passing game George Kittle is. But moving forward here, Brock Purdy. I thought he had an excellent game on Sunday. He was on fire. He was on point. But there was a couple misconnections. And one, we want to figure out what's going on with Ricky Pearsall, because we touched on it last week where he had 63 targets in the previous three games. He had no catches on three targets. Where do you see it from the young man? What did you see from the young man on Sunday? Because we know Purdy was excellent. There's the misconnection on the deep ball there where Pearsall looked open. Purdy took accountability for it, but I don't know, Baldy. What do you see from Ricky Pearsall, the first-round pick out of Florida?
Not much. I mean, you know, they only threw it 25 times. You know, and so, you know, six are going to Kittle and, you know, seven or eight are going to Juwan just because of his size alone and he's dependable. And so now you're spreading around to Garendo and Pearsall and Debo. Like, there's just not a whole lot of targets there in that type of a game last week. But, you know, you're not seeing any sort of priority where he's okay. This is the progression. It starts with Ricky, and it goes like that. That wasn't really there. So, you know, Brock is going to throw it to the open guy, and wherever that is, and he's got a backup. Left side of the offensive line in there right now. Like, he's going to prioritize getting the ball out quick, and whoever's open, whether it's the progression or whether what he sees, that's where he's going to go right now. But I would say that connection needs a lot of work right now.
What about Purdy's arm, shoulder? Couple underthrows. I mean, he completed the pass, so this feels foolish for me to break this down. But as you're watching it, are you seeing anything that maybe, I don't know, concern, or maybe he doesn't look 100%?
I don't see anything like that, Joe. Normally, when a guy is battling any kind of an injury, you can see, like, after he makes a throw or getting up off the ground or whatever it might be, you can see some kind of adjustment or grabbing something. You don't see anything like that that would hint that something isn't right. Like, that he's never going to have Matt Stafford's arm, okay? That's okay. Like, he's got an accurate arm. That's more important. But there's only a couple Staffords in his business that have that type of a slingshot, you know? So we're never going to confuse him with that. But still, he's got more. Joe Montana didn't have that either. But we all know what Joe did. So, like, I think he looks fine to me. It looks like nothing has lingered from that 1 week.
Well, Stafford looks like he's on fire. You mentioned him earlier in this interview, Baldy, and Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. I mean, this Puka kid made just unbelievable play after play against Buffalo. And just with the Rams coming into town, they look like they're headed for one of those late-season surges. Impressive win last night, even though they gave up 42 points. Josh Allen was remarkable. But Puka Nacua, man, who does he remind you of?
I guess he's a bigger Wes Welker. You know, like, he just has unbelievable quickness. He can see. He's always open. And you can't get the ball to him enough. Like, look at if you want to defeat the Rams, you have to defeat their quick game. Their quick game is ridiculous. That means watching Hufanga come back in. That was nice to see. Like, he looked a little bit like Colin Noah last week. Mustafa right there. Like, you've got to defeat wide receiver blocks. If you let those guys shield you, get up on you, Nacua and Cooper Kupp, they'll throw 10 of those in this game on Thursday night. Like, you got to defeat that at the point of attack. It's got to be a high priority, because if you let either one of those guys get going, they run right through arm tackles.
Yeah, how does the Niners secondary look right now? Charvarius obviously returning to form, everything that's been going on. Domino Lenore coming back. It was nice to see him make a play. But that young secondary for the safeties, you know, with Talanoa returning, Tig Brown at times not on the field, Malik Mustafa got the wind knocked out of him or got hit in the neck or whatever. How's that secondary looking? This is probably the toughest test they've faced in weeks.
Yeah, because if you just think that Nacua and Cooper Kupp are going to beat you, DeMarcus Robinson's beating everybody all year long. Like, when both those guys were hurt, he's the go-to guy. And you can never, you know, and Kyren Williams is just a great football player, just a great player. So, he can beat you in a lot of different ways, that guy. He's a fantastic player. But, like, just DeMarcus Robinson and Tutu Atwell, like, the one thing that Stafford does, which is, there's really, maybe Burrow does this a little bit, but not that much. Like, he'll just throw the ball to a spot, and he'll just trust his receivers are going to go get it. And it's the darndest thing to watch, because these guys aren't even close to being out of the break, and the ball's going to a spot. And Stafford just – and those guys, Coop, Cut, Robinson, and Nacua, their adjustment to the ball in the air is ridiculous. It's really something special to watch. Nobody else throws with that level of anticipation in this whole league right now. So that's just something to watch as a fan, but – I watch it every week in the film room, and it's like, you just don't know. You just don't see how he sees it so fast, where these guys are going to be.
No, they're in sync. Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, he's not getting touched. They're throwing for a bunch of yards here. Kyren Williams running tough. Blake Crum's involved in the game plan, a rookie out of Michigan. But defensively, what's the best way to attack this defense, the LA Rams defense? And a lot of people don't know about it. You got the two young rookies from Florida State. But other than that, not a lot of people know about this Rams defense. Baldy, break it down for us. How the Niners going to attack this defense?
Jared Verse could easily be, you know, the rookie of the year. I mean, that guy plays so hard, number 8. you see him, if you put a tight end on this kid, he's going to abuse him. You know, I don't care, run blocking, pass blocking. No, he's physical. Fisk is a ridiculous athlete with a great motor. You look at Kobe Turner, you know, had seven sacks last year as a rookie. Like, he's a really good, he wins one-on-ones. Like, him and Pooney inside is going to be fun to watch. I would say the weakness is probably the corners. Like, you watch, you know, the safeties are good. I always liked Cam Curl. He was in Washington, a rookie in Washington. He's a good football player. Cam Kitchens has been the defensive rookie of the week, or defensive player of the week twice this year, one on a 100-yard interception return. They've got a young defense, very young, but they play really hard. Josh Allen was just Josh Allen last week. That's all you could say. Like, he's just the MVP. Like, there's no other talent like him in this league. But, and so that's how they put up the 42. Like, he just kept slinging it. But I'd say that this defense can only get better because they've drafted the right guys. They've got a really good young core of players. Byron Young, you just go through all these guys. They're really talented, and they play the game the right way.
So they lose CMC for the whole year, basically. Lost Elijah Mitchell in training camp. Jordan Mason was running it like crazy. Everybody's running it like crazy on this team. He goes down. Now he's probably out for the rest of the year. And then you get Isaac Arendo, who I thought looked spectacular. I thought the little passing angle route where it turned into like a crosser was just a gorgeous play design. He has great hands. I thought his eyes were great, and he was figuring out how to run in this system. And then he goes down. How big of a loss is this? And just overall, their ability to plug and play at the running back spot, I mean, are they going to feel it on Thursday?
Yeah. Yeah, eventually you feel it. I mean, even that crosser that you talked about out of the backfield, now that's a McCaffrey play. But it's a choice route, and he just saw a zone, and he saw an opening, and just kept going. Like, normally you sit down in the middle on a Texas route, but I think he just saw it and just kept going. Like, he read it properly. That's not easy to do. He got one-on-one, you know, with Sanborn down the stretch, down the seam, you know. Purdy fed it to him perfectly. I don't know if they have another guy right now that can play like that. You know, it's the next man up, but they've had three step up and all play great. And, you know, they're still trying to replace McCaffrey, but Mason, Garendo, they were great. I don't know if they have another guy that can play like that.
Well, we know Juwan Jennings is playing out of this world right now. If there's a positive moving forward, the Niners give out this award called the Lynn Eschmont Award for most inspirational. Juwan Jennings, what a season he's having to become the 49ers' top wide receiver, man. We can't go through this interview without bringing up Juwan Jennings, man. He plays. If there's anybody who wants it, this guy's played like he's wanted it every single week he's been on the football field, Baldy.
He's unreal. I remember talking to Jimmy Garoppolo about him one day. I'm like, what? Because I was just trying to figure out who he was and who he reminded of. I remember Jimmy just telling me, well, he's not very fast. He's not really quick. But, dang, he gets open. And that's kind of him. Like, he's got a big body. He plays the game the right way. He can separate a little bit. He's a great blocker. Great blocker. He really is talented in that department. And as you have to be to play in that system. Because he's just the ultimate team player right now. Team player and dependable. Like, you know, every team. I remember, like, when Michael Thomas was in New Orleans with Drew Brees, and his Twitter handle was, "You can't guard Mike."
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like that's a little bit like Juwan. Like, you can't guard Juwan. He's always open. He just knows how to attack the football. Like, he's aggressive to the ball in the air. And that's a good... I think that's a good quality to have.
He's got that box out, like, I mean, he's not this player, but very similar to Anquan Boldin, where he used to just vice grip the ball in traffic, and I was just so impressed with him. One thing that is going to get lost in the win, and you're winning by a lot, the kicking game. I mean, I know there's new rules. I know people are trying things out. Jake Moody didn't even get it to the appropriate distance twice in this game on kickoffs. I don't know what to make of what's going on. Like, the snow game, like, I just kind of throw it to the side. It's really difficult to kick. He hasn't been great this year. I don't understand exactly what's going on. Is this an issue? Is this a problem? What's going on with Jake Moody, the kicker?
Well, it's a nightmare for any defensive coordinator when the offense is starting at the 40. It's a nightmare. Like, they've talked about it all preseason. Every coordinator I talk to, they said the same thing. Like, who wants to start on defense at the 40-yard line? So... These kickers, like, they're on a, honestly, they should never buy a home. I don't care what their name is. Like, you should never feel like you have security. That's kind of how all their careers go. You look at guys like Graham Gano, whatever, like, they're just on a carousel. They just get on the next bus. They go to the next stop because they all lose their stroke at some point for whatever reason. It could be injury. It could be in their head. It could be I don't know, just how they are perceived by the front office, whatever. Like, there's not too many that basically, you watch Justin Tucker just fall apart right now. He's been the best in the history of this whole game. He's fallen apart. Like, it just happens to these guys. And you got to have the next guy up and ready to go. You never know when they're just going to lose it and when you might have to move on from them.
Jake Elliott in Philadelphia, man. They're ready. Justin Tucker's struggling, man. What a nightmare for kickers around the league. Baldy, where are you going to be at this weekend? Hopefully not in Minnesota. You've been there back-to-back LA. Weeks.
I'm taking a break. I'm going out to L.A. I'm going to see the Harbaugh and the Chargers against the Bucks this weekend. Two teams battling for playoff spots here, so it should be pretty fun.
I love Derwin James, Baldy. I love him. Yeah, I wanted the Niners to draft him over McGlinchey. I did the draft show then. I love watching him play.
So in that draft, Joe, you'll remember this. There was two safeties. There was Minka and there was Derwin. They remember, like, it was... Yeah. Like, how could you go wrong? It was sort of like that. And I remember, you know, Minka gets drafted by the Dolphins, and they can't really figure out how to use him. They got him in the slot. He's a nickel. Like, and they traded him. I forget who the GM was. And as soon as he got to Pittsburgh, his first game was against the 49ers.
Yeah, I remember that.
He had two takeaways in that game.
Yep.
I'm like, Minka's a stealer. That's what it is. He's a stealer. And both those guys, like, first of all, the game is unbelievably important to both those guys. They're both if you're doing a 4-hour radio show, Joe, you'd want Derwin or Minka sitting right next to you talking football. Like, you wouldn't get enough. Like, they love it. They love talking about it, playing about it. They love their teammates. Like, it's just their credit. Both of them are a credit to the game.
Yeah, no doubt. Chris Greer, GM of the Miami Dolphins there. And the Bucs, man, they got my boy Bucky Irvin, who left the game last week with a back injury. But I like this Tampa Bay team, man. Baker's scrappy. Bucky Irvin's running hard. Mike Evans is back. Tampa's going to steal that division in the AFC South, Baldy.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, unless Atlanta goes to Michael Penix Jr., like, they're not going to win that division. Because I've seen enough of Kirk Cousins here. Yeah. Like, his arm is dying arm. Like it does to all old quarterbacks. It's literally dying. But I picked Tampa to win that division earlier this year. Like, Todd Bowles is just a good coach. And they got a toughness about that team. They're like everybody else. They've had a ton of injuries, lost guys. You know, you lose, you know, Godwin and Evans for three straight weeks. You lose your 1-2. Like, that's tough to overcome. But they got rookies. Jalen McMillan stepped up from Oregon last week. You know, like, he looked really good. Or from Washington, I should say. Washington. Yeah. Yeah, he was there with Rome. Yeah. No, I think they're going to win. Like, this is going to be a good game. They got to win this game.
Good game, Baldy. It's a hell of a game down at SoFi Stadium, Tampa Bay, and the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh and company. All right, Baldy, man, we'll talk to you next week as the Niners take on the Rams. Good luck, as always.
Yep. See you guys.
All right, Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line. With that said, let's get straight to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, Isaac Garrido, foot sprain. He's going to be closely monitored all week long. We've seen in the locker room yesterday without a protective walking boot, so that's good news. Shanahan did not expect Garrido to participate in practice today and will most likely be a game-time decision Thursday night against the L.A. Rams. The injury report brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Baldy, at the earlier interview, let's talk about Deebo Samuel. Now, I do want to get some fans' thoughts on this. 888-957-9570. Baldy mentioned that wide receivers don't win Super Bowls. Wide receivers don't win Super Bowls. Do you buy that? 888-957-9570. Certainly feels like you need one to get there, but do they win them? We'll love to hear your thoughts, plus much, much more. We'll get to the Golden State Warriors as well. I've been dying to get to the Warriors here on the Morning Roast.